Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yes, I am Greg the Dive Master, and before we continue on, I must mention our Scuba Radio chat room is quite active today. You know, we have Pete in here from Scuba Board, better known as Ned Doc. I don't know if he's moderating or instigating. What's going on there, Pete? One thing I need to point out is that the Scuba Radio chat room is definitely unmoderated.
That's for sure.
So I think it's more of an instigating type of thing that you are contributing to today. Mermaid Angela has been looking at the screen. She actually moved around in the studio, and now she can see the screen, and she goes, "Oh my God, what the hell's going on in there? What is going on there, Angela?
Have you figured it out yet?" I have no idea. I'm not any part of this, is all I had to say.
Do you think those are like built-in VCs?
It's new form of dive equipment, maybe?
Flotation devices.
Oh, boy.
At their finest.
Just remember, if you go into the Scuba Radio chat room, you enter at your own risk, and it is probably not advisable for those under 18, at least today.
I was just checking. I'm not sure I'm old enough for the chat room.
Oh, you're plenty old enough, trust me. And I notice that you've been in there for the last hour or so too. What do you mean? Oh my God! What? Let me look at this.
Turn this off.
Oh dear God, help us! Oh man, we can do that across state lines, can't we? Pete's usually the internet guru. He should know this. Anyway,
I think you're fine. If you get sued by more than like 10 people.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. All right. So just remember, if you want to chat away to your heart's content with your fellow Scuba Radio listeners, you can do so there at the Scuba Radio chat room at scubaradio.com.
Angela is showing a.
She's not showing anything
in this.
You know,
I just feel so bad for this girl.
Oh boy!
I think
okay, that's no. enough. That's enough. It's a radio show, and there's reasons we can get away with saying certain things, and you know, because if we had to show this, we couldn't. You know, it's bottom line, as simple as that. So let's just move on. In the studio with us is Walker Stanberry. He is a marine photographer, actually a wildlife photographer. Right, Walker? Can you do all forms of photography?
Yes.
Are you really a marine?
I am not a Marine.
Not a Marine. Online, maybe. I don't know. He could play one online. But no, he is a wildlife photographer and obviously a scuba diver. He's been out on several diving events with us and dive trips, and we've gotten to know him over the years. And I got a new toy in the Scuba Radio office here in the last week or two from Olympus. It's the E520, a digital SR. SLR. Yeah, SLR. So
did
it looks
you get
like,
a case with it? Did you get underwater
housing? Not yet. I got that camera for our liveaboard trip because, you know, Olympus has been great with us over the years with Scuba Radio. They send me, you know, toys to play with and to try out and to talk about on the show and document some of the adventures visually that we discuss, kind of like what we just mentioned in the chat room. We get some of that stuff on film now. You know, and we have Olympus to thank for that or blame. I'm not sure if it's a, you know, we thank them.
If you're holding the camera, blame. If Walker is holding the camera, then accolades.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's correct.
Yeah, so, you know, they sent me a digital SLR camera, the new E520, for our liveaboard trip, where we were going to have a couple mermaids on board. We're going
to
be diving.
That must have been a great trip. I can't wait to see the pictures from that trip where you got to go and swim with the wild dolphins and all.
Well, we had new mermaid outfits, new mermaid tails that we've had designed for this trip.
Did you have one to fit me this time?
No. new.
What are we allowed to say?
Are kicking in some more.
And but
that
anyway,
must have been a great trip. I can't wait to see the pictures, Greg.
Well, of course, we had to cancel this one or postpone it because of the weather. So
I feel badly for you.
We're in the process of kind of regrouping a little photo shoot, but we got this camera without a housing because we wanted to get high quality surface shots of the mermaid tails and some of the dolphins breaking the surface and that kind of thing. And you know, I have the Olympus 1030 SW camera, which is shockproof and you can take down about 30 feet. We had it in Fiji, got some great shots, but that's more of a, you know, point and shoot camera. This is a little bit more high quality for models and stuff like that. So that's what we got. And you are the camera guru there, Walker. What do you think? You've been playing with that here in the studio today.
It's a sweet little camera.
Yeah, like how it feels?
I like how it feels.
It's like a real professional photographer camera,
it is. It
right?
even has interchangeable lenses.
Yeah, you can put super lenses on that. What is that? Is that just a typical wide-angle lens on there now or what?
No, it's a zoom. It actually goes from 14 to 42 millimeters.
So here in the studio, you can actually zoom across the room and like focus in on my nose hairs? Is that what we're doing right now?
Just about, yes.
Nice.
Let me just ask a quick question.
I think focusing on Angela is a little bit nicer.
Hello! Wait, those aren't nose hairs right there. Oh, God.
Now, Walker, let me ask a quick question, because as I hear Greg talk about it, he seems to think that it's the subject of the camera which determines whether or not it's a professional camera. Is it really more the skill of the photographer that is more determining whether
totally,
or not you need a
totally the camera.
I object.
No.
The question is leading.
I mean, really, what we're getting here is we're not getting a great camera because we'd be taking pictures of great things. We're getting a great camera, ideally, to make Greg into a great photographer. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being practically no chance in hell, and 10 being, I don't know, a miracle, what are the chances that Greg will become a great photographer with this camera?
Well, you know, if he has a couple of mermaids in front of him, I think he's going to be world class.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, if you take enough pictures, and you can do that with this digital photography thing, you're bound to get, you know, 1 out of 100 shots that are respectable. You know, the difference between me and Walker is it'll be 1 in 100 for me, but it may be 1 out of 5 for him. You see what I'm saying?
Well, at least 2 out of 100 for me.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. And that's the thing. He might be able to get through that. But if you shoot enough of them, you can get some decent shots.
Yes, you can.
And the neat thing about that Olympus camera, this digital SLR camera, is that it has that quick view finder, just like a point-and-shoot camera, which is relatively new technology for these type of cameras. Right, Walker?
Yes, and it also has live view, which means you can flip it back to the screen on the back and look at everything real quickly.
Right.
So you can hold it at different angles and still see what you're shooting a picture of.
Nice. What are you guys laughing at? Are you guys still in the chat room and totally ignoring what we're discussing
yes.
on the radio?
They just sent some beefcake over for
Angela staring at nude guys.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
That's what happens.
I'm very pleased. Okay.
It's an equal opportunity offender right now, evidently, in the Scuba Radio chat room. And Walker's taking pictures of these expressions, which say a lot.
Actually, according to what I've seen of the pictures, it's now the Scuba Radio chaps room.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, boy.
That's what we like.
Don't like the sound of that. I really don't.
Just saying.
But look, okay.
Dancing cheek to cheek.
Now, you know, we have this camera to shoot some topside stuff.
Yes.
Now, I know when you take, you have a pretty extensive underwater photography setup there, Walker. I mean, is there a main system you work with right now? Because when we went out on that shark dive, shark tooth thing, you had this monstrosity with you, which was about the size and weight of an entire set of scuba gear.
Battlestar Galactica.
Exactly. I mean, it looked very high-tech with all the strobes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what is that? What are you carrying around with you?
I'm actually carrying a Nikon camera that's a digital camera in a housing from Light and Motion.
Yeah, from Light and Motion. And that's probably, what, a $4,000 or $5,000, even more than bucks in that?
For the housing, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to find a hell of a lot of shark teeth.
A whole lot of shark teeth.
To recoup some of that expense, I would imagine.
Well, you know, it does take a bite out of your budget.
Yes.
Staying on topic here.
Ah, there we go.
Let the tooth be told.
Oh, jeez. Bill, you care to throw one in?
I don't think I can get any worse than that, so we'll just leave it there.
We've sunk to the lowest level. What can we say?
Oh,
that's our talent.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
We get in, we sink.
Yes, indeedy.
Seriously, though, you don't actually use that really expensive equipment exclusively for shooting shark's teeth, I'm assuming.
Absolutely not.
No, okay. He was actually down there. He wanted to document some pictures of me finding shark teeth and whatever other little critters we saw. We ended up seeing quite a few. Actually.
We saw some really cool stuff. My favorite things were actually the starfish that were like 14 inches across.
Yeah.
And then the starfish that I put on your tank band when I was behind you.
Right,
and
right.
In front of me.
Yeah, he was pimping me, and I didn't even know it. And the visibility on that particular dive wasn't very good. We maybe had 5 to 7 feet of visibility. Now,
don't eat beans.
What's that?
Don't eat beans.
Oh, don't even go there. And how much of a factor does that play in what you can get with your setup? Honestly, with that kind of visibility, I wouldn't even have taken my camera down with me because I was like, there's no way I'm going to get anything worth a crap. But you actually got some good stuff.
I did. And one of the advantages I had was I turned off my strobes. We were in green water with a lot of flashbacky type stuff. In other words, when you shoot and you see all these little flashies going off.
Particulate, yeah.
With digital, you can shoot in low visibility water and get good shots if you turn off your strobe.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so, we had really low light, even though we're only in, 25 feet of water?
Yeah. But the digital cameras allow you to shoot in low light levels, and you don't have that refraction from the flash,
correct.
So you don't get that backscatter problem?
Correct. Exactly.
Is this why it's best to shoot in RAW mode? And I'm not referring back to how these guys look on the...
No, shoot in the RAW or shoot... What were we talking about there?
Actually, I shot in JPEG mode that day, just so you do know. It would be more of an advantage in RAW mode, I think, if you're using your strobes.
Explain that, because I see that on my camera, and I'm like, RAW mode, what the hell? What's the difference from super fine in the digital photography world and RAW mode? What's the difference?
It's really easy. In RAW mode, you've got more room to play around because you've got all that digital information just stuck in there. It hasn't been preformed in a sense. So if you load it into a program such as Adobe Photoshop, you have more latitude to play with the photo. In other words,
saturation.
If something went wrong, you can
change the saturation, you can change the color, you can change their saturation, the color balance, all sorts of things while it's in RAW. Once it's in JPEG, you're limited as to what you can actually change in a picture.
Interesting. So if you have the space available on your card that the digital camera records on, you are better off shooting in RAW mode then, aren't you?
That's exactly right. I think that 1 kilobyte card that you have, you should throw it away.
I don't have one. I have one much bigger than that. It's at least 2 kilobytes. Last I looked.
Well, I guess this brings me back to a question which I had wanted to ask before we get into this discussion on RAW and JPEG, which we'll get to on the other side, which is why digital photography is better in this low-light environment that we were in.
Okay, we'll find out.
Low light or low life?
It's Underwater Photography 101.
We'll cover a lot when we get back.
First radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Could she stay like that?
I don't know.
Oh, get the picture.
Sandy's a girl?
All right, do you shoot in super fine mode or in RAW mode? We have Walker Stanberry in the studio today. He's a wildlife photographer and also scuba diver. Does a lot of underwater photography. So, I'm delving into this. I got a new Olympus E520. Camera that I've been playing with, and I'm trying to get a little bit more in tune with getting better shots, especially underwater.
Got to turn it on first, Greg.
Oh! Knew that was one problem.
And remember to take the lens cap off if you have it in a housing.
Yes. Now, I got to tell you, I have shot in the RAW, but I've never shot RAW or something like that, and because I didn't quite understand it. But what you're telling me is if you shoot in RAW mode, It's the files are much bigger, so you got to take that into account as far as the number of photos you can fit on your storage card,
right?
In your camera, but it gives you more flexibility if you take the picture after you've shot it and put it into a program like Photoshop or
Lightroom,
one of those type of things.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it gives you more flexibility. You can turn, for instance, like a mermaid with a pasty white complexion into a sun goddess.
Is that Angela?
You can. You actually can. You can shift the light balance.
You can shift the light balance.
I'm sorry, but the idea in RAW is that you've got all of the possible data is available in RAW, whereas in even super fine mode, it's been processed to a point where you can't reconstruct it later. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Now, all the possible data for that particular chip that's reading the light.
Right. So you can maybe add a tan to a mermaid in super fine mode, but you can actually transform one into a male if they're in RAW form?
Well, I
actually, the whole point here,
I think we need to talk to Bill about that. I've seen him transform several times.
The thing about RAW for the non-professional photographer is that when you make that mistake, you can actually correct it.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Well, I mean, I've done a lot of, airbrushing techniques, even in when I shoot stuff, usually in fine mode on my cameras.
You can still make changes, absolutely.
But you can do more. You just have a little bit more control if you get into more of the technical ways to work with your Photoshop program or whatever the case may be, I guess.
Well, and here's the other really great advantage when we went from film to digital.
Yeah.
On a roll of film, you could maybe squeeze out 39 pictures.
Right.
Now, the other thing, not only in digital can you shoot more, but let's say if you're shooting a 1 gig card, maybe you can shoot in RAW 50 shots.
Right.
But in JPEG, you can shoot 200 and something.
This is true. So
that's a great advantage.
Absolutely.
And I would recommend people, especially shooting point shoots, to go to JPEG.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you get more chances to get the right shot. And if you get a shot that you don't like, of like someone's butt, or you've, accidentally.
Well, it depends on whose butt. I've seen some pretty good butts around.
Yeah,
there,
good point. You can actually just delete it and then use that space and start over. That's the fun thing about digital photography, really opening it up to the idiots like me. Trial and error, you can slowly but surely hone your skills that way.
It's definitely a much faster learning curve.
Yeah, instant gratification as well.
Is.
And one of the things with photography, with film photography, I mean, and I never shot underwater photography, but I used an above water camera. It would be sometimes weeks, months, occasionally years between when the picture was taken and when I saw the prints.
Yes.
When you're underwater and you can see the image come up, do you edit underwater as you go along? Say, that was a bad one, and erase it
in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's that fast. That's the wonderful thing about digital.
It is. It is nice.
I've done that myself underwater, but by mistake. I'm much better at the edit button than I am at the taking picture button.
Yeah.
So, Walker, what would you say would be, I'm a new diver. I don't have all the skills
yet. You're a
new
diver?
Wait,
I'm a brand new diver.
Nude or new?
Brand new diver.
Okay.
I'm out to purchase my very first camera.
You can do that in RAW,
How am I going to do that? Only on the internet.
Okay. How are you going to do what?
Purchase?
What am I going to look for in purchasing that very first camera that I'm going to use underwater?
I'll tell you my technique. It's really simple. You go look at the model. You go to somewhere like Sam's. And sometimes they're plugged in. You can look at them. A range of cameras.
Like Sam's Club.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And pick them up and look at them all.
B&W Photo. There's a number of them out there.
Like I'm menu, what would be the correct word? Retarded. I need a camera that works simply in my hands, and digital has that ability.
Right.
Now, for some people, they want every option in the world. So it's a range. You go pick it up, try it, point it, and shoot it. Just standing there at Sam's, you'll learn so much about your camera.
Follow your eyes. And use a little common sense. That makes a lot of... I like it. I like it indeed. All right, more on underwater photography next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com. Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear. Virtual shark feeding frenzy going on in the Scuba Radio chat room right now as Mermaid Angela has taken flight, so to speak, in the chat room, and it's just going nuts.
Under my name as well, I might add.
Yeah, what is this? I am a fan of man boobs.
I didn't write that.
Oh, my God. What is going on in
yes,
there?
Yes, you did.
No, it says Ned Doc did that.
I know. She's under my name.
Oh, is that what it is?
She's got the keyboard. I'm sitting over here and say, Angela, tell them it's you. Tell them it's you.
Yeah. God forbid they actually talk about something we are talking about on the show.
I hear that photographers, when they're really under pressure, they snap.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, I know some photographers who have photographic memories. Unfortunately, nothing ever develops.
Oh!
And in case of Billy, has an underdeveloped sense of humor.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we're going to send you both to the dark room in just a minute if this continues. All right. Now, look, Walker Stanberry is in the studio with us. He is a wildlife photographer. We're trying to suck as much information out of him.
He gets some wildlife, too. I mean, that's when we were at the show, I tell you, all the babes are after him. And I'm like, okay, he's really got this going on, doesn't he?
Well, it is interesting. Yeah, we were at the Surf Expo, and there's a lot of models, a lot of bikini models at that show. And Walker has an eye for talent. And
they have an eye for him.
Well, because he's carrying around a big camera.
A big camera.
Yes.
With a long
size
lens.
Does
Hello.
Matter.
And so he would talk to the girls. And you work with a lot of models like that, right, Walker?
Right. But you know what really strikes me about the show is I remember that in most of those pictures, there's a guy named Pete or a guy named Greg standing hugged up against this little skinny bikini model.
He got
us. With barely any suit on. You know, so I'm trying to figure out how I ended up with the women when I was the guy over here taking the photo.
That's the bikini model had hardly any clothes on. We were dressed.
We were there to make the girls look better.
I mean, you were in your Speedos, but, you know, I thought Speedos were appropriate for surf.
A lot of times a sense of perspective is important, Walker.
Correct.
Scuba Radio.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I got laid down in Hawaii. By a brown-skinned girl with a Mai Tai in one hand. Then I got laid on the beach in Maui. By a brown-eyed girl on that warm Hawaiian sand.
I gotta go to Hawaii, I'm telling you.
By a brown-eyed girl on that warm Hawaiian sand.
I wanna go to Hawaii, yay, yay! All right, this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Underwater photography, that is the topic that we're discussing. And by the way, here's a great magazine for you to check out, wetpixel.com. If you check it out, they got a magazine that they just started putting out a few months ago. And it is one of the most incredible pieces of work from a, it's more of like a coffee book type of presentation. But it's obviously put together by underwater photographers. Our friends at Reef Photo, I know, are catered to a lot of the photographers that buy equipment from them. And man, it is amazing images you can find in this.
I think that's a collection of the winners of many of the photo shoots that they have.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're only on issue number 4. I think they're doing like 4 issues a year. But Wet Pixel Quarterly is what it's called. But if you go to wetpixel.com, I believe you can find information on that.
So where'd you get the idea that they were doing it 4 times a year?
That it says issue number 4.
He thinks it costs 25 cents, but hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wet Pixel Quarterly, huh? I wonder how often it comes out. Hmm. Interesting.
No, it costs a quarter. That's what it is. anyway, good stuff. And if you're an underwater photographer, you definitely, or if you have any interest in that, you'd definitely like that magazine for sure. Now, Walker, we talked about what you look for in a camera, basically something that you just kind of look at the screen and look how it feels for you. And if you feel comfortable with it, that's a good place to start is what you're saying, right?
Well, actually, the first sort is really easy. If you have lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
Go spend $10,000 and get the best equipment you can.
Spend it. More the merrier, huh?
Invest it.
Invest it. Now look at it as an investment. I got you.
Get insurance while you're at it.
But the thing is, though, you don't have to spend a ton of money to really get into this and start enjoying it, though, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that camera, that Olympus, E520, I think it retails for about $600, $500-$600, I believe. And that's a pretty nice little camera, isn't it?
It's a great little camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would suggest you don't even have to go this expensive.
Yeah.
I would say you can stay in the under $400 range.
Yeah. That's including the housing nowadays.
Yes.
The Fuji exactly. I'm looking at is about $400 with the housing, the E50D.
Yeah.
One of the things you'll find out if you just do a little research is that each manufacturer now pops out their own little acrylic housing that you slap the camera into.
Right.
I don't think you can beat it. And most of them have an underwater mode where it shifts the light, picks up the missing reds, that kind of stuff.
Well, the Olympus 1030SW,
yes,
it doesn't even need a housing to 33
really?
Feet.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, that's what we took to Fiji. We took some pictures in the pool there at Fiji. Angela, you remember that? We got some interesting little shots there at the Pearl Resort in Fiji that are up there at scubaradio.com. And we actually got very artistic with some of the shots with the mermaids there.
Hmm. And it also runs a video.
How is the
it
focus? Does,
which
on
is amazing.
That?
The focus, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's a point and shoot camera.
Doesn't have a flat film on it at the very front, as opposed to like, you know, a land camera. You have the convex lens. I'm just looking at how it would handle water. You sort of have to have something flat in front of it.
It doesn't have like a lens around lens. Is that what you're talking about that pops out like focus and stuff?
Yeah. Does it have like a flat covering to it?
Yes. It does,
but it still shoots at a 28, which is pretty wide angle.
That is and in underwater, the wider is the better because you're usually doing macro.
Yeah, well, go to scubaradio.com. I'll pull up some of the pictures here for you to look at. I did good for a beginner.
Scuba Radio.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Oh, amazing diving. the third largest barrier reef in the world. Caverns, blue holes, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas, Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. coralcavernsresort.com.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland. Whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls, we have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at bahamasdiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
This is Dr. Samuel H. Gruber, the Shark Doc. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving and to political intrigue.
Everybody lay low in Bimini, or be nothing new. I recall that's what I came here for.
All right, so the guys here in the studio are checking out the pictures there at scubaradio.com. If you go to My Images, a little drop-down menu at scubaradio.com, and then pull up that page and then do a search on Fiji, you can pull up all the pictures I shot with the Olympus 1030SW. And Walker, for a beginning photo schmo like myself, they turned out okay for a little point-and-shoot underwater camera like that, huh?
Well, I want verification that you didn't hire a pro to do this, because they look awful good.
Well, you know, this is where it comes down to the talent you have to work with. And I, you know, the way digital photography is going these days, if an idiot like me can get decent images, that means the technology has gotten quite impressive. You still have to be a quality photographer to get good stuff like you do. But when you can shoot 100 pictures, you're bound to get a few that look okay.
Wait a minute, you can throw the bad ones away.
That's right.
I see a picture here of Greg that looks good. So obviously it's the camera, not the...
Which picture is that? Did I take that of myself? Was that a self-portrait?
I don't think so.
I think that was somebody else.
Am I wearing clothes?
Well, you're wearing a helmet and looking rather like Greg-ish or geeky-ish, depending how you look at it.
Actually, I don't know who to... Oh, that, when we were ziplining in Fiji, that's what it is, right? Is that
exactly.
it, Angela? Okay.
You have a beetle nut in your mouth?
I don't know. Yeah, I look good. Yeah, but it comes back to the talent you have to work with when you're dealing with scuba radio mermaids like Angela or
Abigail or Nikki.
I mean, it makes it easy to get better shots than otherwise, right?
It makes it fun to get better shots.
It makes it fun. But yeah, if you have quality talent to work with, especially if you're taking portraits like that,
yes,
it makes a big difference.
It does.
Who you're trying to take pictures of.
Well, now. Let's, if we can move this past the stage of talking about people that want to get their pictures taken to, let's say, sea creatures who are at best indifferent about getting their pictures taken. When you're in the water trying to take pictures, what sort of things do you need to kind of focus on to get good underwater photos?
I get it. Focus.
I wish I meant that.
Actually, I can tell you some real quick pointers.
Okay.
Make sure you're comfortable underwater. Everybody forgets that when they're diving.
Yeah.
Take care of the conditions first so that you're comfortable as a photographer, so that you're not cold, you're not uncomfortable, you're hydrated, all these things.
Yeah.
The second thing is, remember, you're a creature in the water, and every movement you send out...
Makes a difference. Yeah.
So if you get calm, if you get relaxed, especially if you stay in one place, if you're not drifting in currents and fighting things... If you stay in one place, you'll be surprised the pictures you get.
Yeah. I've found, just even with what I do with the underwater video I've been shooting and some of the beginning photographer stuff I've gotten to, you're so right. That hits the nail on the head. If you're a beginning diver and you give someone a camera, it's almost like information overload. They haven't even gotten, mastered their buoyancy yet, let alone trying to take a picture where you have to be really still to keep things in focus. To frame the shot just right, that you really pointed out something that seems kind of obvious, but a lot of people maybe take for granted that they need to get their buoyancy skills in check first before they attempt something like this.
And trim
would help.
And trim, definitely.
But buoyancy, I'd say, is the most important thing, wouldn't you think?
I agree. And you need to be just comfortable. And that just comes from getting enough time. One of the other things I recommend, and I did this with students, is go in your swimming pool before you go all the way to Australia or Palm Beach.
Okay, so relieve yourself in your swimming pool before you go into the ocean?
Absolutely. Is that what it saves your wetsuit, for one thing.
Ah, okay.
It's a wetsuit-saving tip.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you just take in a few colorful objects, throw them around in the pool, and you shoot them.
Yeah.
You'll learn so much about how close can I get, what kind of lighting do I need.
Right.
And it'll save you all sorts of grief. You know, you'll already be a step ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
All right, one other question that I have
about... Bill's always a step ahead of himself, but, you know.
Today in particular.
Sure.
But another question I have about underwater photography, because it seems as though it would be easier to take pictures of big things than little things, but I rarely see really good pictures of big things underwater. Is there a reason for that?
You just haven't followed me around.
I guess that might be why.
Yeah, you're not looking at the right pictures, evidently.
I mean, I see a lot of really great, you know, tiny pictures. I mean, little teeny tiny shrimp, I see fantastic pictures, but
macro
great big pictures don't seem to come out as well.
Well, actually, one of my favorite underwater photographers recently said macro is the low-hanging fruit. Now, there's still some wonderful photographers out there who really, I think, created underwater photography in terms of art. A guy named Chris Newbert did extensive work with macro. He's one of the few masters underwater. But when you get in the ocean, I agree with you, Bill. When you get in the ocean, everything's big. One of the things standing your way is clarity.
Yeah.
Digital brings that a long ways forward. You can shoot ambient light if you need to and probably capture much greater depth of field.
Right. But you don't necessarily have great conditions for that type of, for those shots where it would allow you to capture the huge scenery type of thing.
The panorama that we all get in the ocean for.
Those are like idyllic conditions that you may or may not be fortunate enough to experience, right?
That's when you get lucky, when opportunity and preparedness meet each other.
Right.
And you get the click.
Yeah, you know, we've been very fortunate, and I think it goes back to the subject issue, just like it goes with some of the shots we get of the Scuba Radio Mermaids. You have quality talent to work with. The same goes to some of the places we've been able to go to, whether it's Fiji, the Bahamas.
Yeah, when you say we, who are you talking about, white man?
Me, pretty much.
One of the other things I'd like to throw in real quick is that here's just a very simple guide for taking a good picture. Make clear in your mind what you're actually taking a picture of. I can be really specific. You've got a grouper, but you see all this other stuff behind you. Think, okay, I've got to frame the grouper in front of this. Well, maybe just get a clear picture of the fish.
Right.
Get a clear picture of the diver. Don't get confused with the background.
Yeah, just focus on one thing.
Focus on one thing, make that your subject, and really make it your subject, and maybe frame in closer, which you can do. And it once again, it boils down to one thing, how you're acting underwater.
You can never get too close.
You can never get too close.
Yeah, interesting. I like it. Well, you know, those are great tips, and you know, I'm going to take them to heart there, Walker.
Well, let's talk about one other thing, too.
What's that?
Shutter lag.
Oh, yeah.
Pete has a problem with shutter lag, but I think he's been to the doctor.
He's got that solved. There's a blue pill you can take that solves that.
That's the difference between fish faces and fish butts.
It is.
Okay.
And what Pete's saying is that with your less expensive cameras that I think are still phenomenal in their picture quality, there is a shutter lag, so you've got to kind of be imagining where that fish is going to be in 1.5
seconds. You have to predict the future. You have to look into the future to get that perfect
shot. Or shoot him and wire him up. You know, it's up to you.
Okay, that'll work too.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
When you were little, all you needed to have fun was a sunny day, a boat, and some water. For three generations, Boat US has worked to maintain this carefree lifestyle by providing time and money-saving services for millions of boaters, including low-cost boat insurance, towing on and off the water, discounts on fuel and equipment, and so much more. Boat US keeps boating safe, simple, and affordable, so your family can still enjoy a sunny day on the water. Visit BoatUS.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI. the way the world learns to dive.
During the break, I'm showing Walker some of my pictures that I took with that Olympus 1030 WS or 1030 SW camera that you take down to 33 feet without a housing. We had it in Fiji, and I was showing him some of the pictures there. I think we've come to the consensus that I'm a underwater photography genius.
I think there's budding talent here, to say the least.
I thought that what we decided on was idiot savant. Little emphasis on the idiot part.
It's getting a little deep in here. I'm putting on some boots.
You say tomato, I say tomato. All right? But yeah, I mean, it's amazing what underwater photography has come to when you take a little camera like that. It's like $300. You can get some decent shots.
You can get some great shots. I think some of it's also, the one thing you get to do as an artist or an aspiring artist is you get to paint. You get to try things out. With a film camera, everybody said, oh, I got to save for this shot. With a digital camera, you shoot away.
This is true.
And believe it or not, in film, professional photographers, they said if the subject's good enough, you shoot one roll. That was the rule of thumb.
Oh, man. I
you get the idea.
Evangela and Abby, I think I shot at least 5 or 6. 100.
Was that just to get them in the picture?
No, I'm brown nosing right now. Can you tell?
Okay.
But I think I did, actually. I took that many pictures. So you're bound to get
talking
shots.
About good subjects, when they're sober, they look pretty good.
When they're sober, they look good, and when
they look even better when they're drunk. But you know,
they're like, oh my god, you want to pass out, you know? Yeah, when you've had a beer or two.
The great thing about the digital cameras is that the law of averages is now on your side.
Exactly,
that's right.
A lot of trial and error goes into it, but it's
fun. That's
it's
a learning curve.
Exactly, it's the process, and you know, I'm getting the hang of it a little bit, and the equipment helps, whether it's from Olympus or another company, but. But some basic tips and techniques that our friend Walker here shared, I think I'm going to take them to heart. Working on it.
I'm jealous of that little camera because you can actually walk into the pool with it, stick it in your bathing suit pocket, pull it out, shoot. I think there's nobody else who has that right now.
Is that a camera? Are you happy to see it?
Hello. Yeah, you know, that's exactly the reason I got one, because it is small enough to stick in the BC pocket and have handy. Matter of fact, I took it with me on that lobster walk.
You did.
And, of course, I was so riled up about seeing the lobsters, I forgot I had the camera in my pocket.
Well, when they started the Roomba, you know, I think you got distracted.
Exactly.
That was part of it.
I was like, what was I thinking? Well,
the craw deadline.
I think the point of all this discussion is that you ought to give it a try. Underwater photography, just one more small aspect of diving that makes it all that much more fun. And then you can share a little bit of the underwater world and your personal adventures with your land-loving friends. All right, that'll do it for this week. Remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
One of the other things that...
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.